Have you ever been in a place in your life where you feel like that you just could not go through one more thing? Come on, I'm asking you tonight. This is your chance. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't think, you said to yourself, I can't do it. I can't do another thing. Some of us might be there right now. Turn with me in the book of Psalm in the 139th chapter, Psalm 139. While you're getting there, I'm going to tell you what the Lord has put in my spirit. If you think about David's journey, he was appointed as the run of all of his brethren to be king. The prophet passed by so many others to seek for the one he knew was to be the one who reigned over Israel. He went from being a shepherd, someone that didn't get the privilege of bathing all the time on the road, from being to that place to having servants bathe him. Going from such a low place back up to a high place where he reigned and had power and dominion. God gave him the authority to take Saul off of his throne. He gave David the ability to reign as long as he was obedient. Going from such a high place to giving in to temptation and causing his own self to stumble and to lose the very thing he had been blessed with. In other words, we're talking about a life that went from lows to highs to lows, but in the end, when he finally fell on his face and gave up and let God take control, the Lord didn't leave him behind. He didn't throw him away, but he gave him a chance of redemption. As we read this chapter tonight, I'm going to go through the entire chapter because you've got to understand that David was in a place when he was talking about these words where he literally felt like he couldn't go through another thing on his own. I've been in that place lately. I've been in that place in the past where I'm looking at what's ahead of me and it's hard to find and see the hope in anything. You're looking at it and you're thinking there's no solution. You're staring at the enemy straight in the eye. And he's looking back at you and saying, come on, I dare you. You're looking at sickness and it's telling you that you're not going to get any better. And you're looking around and saying, is there any healer left in these lands? You're looking at what you're dealing with without the feeling that you can make it. And the Lord has sent us tonight. Let's read it, verse 1, Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest, somebody say that, my down sitting and mine uprising. Go ahead. And thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. It's humbling me to read this. And art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Glory to God. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't. He was talking out of his weakness. He said, I can't attain unto it. And he asked this particular question. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, somebody say it, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, somebody say, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, somebody needs to say that over their thing right now, even there shall thy hand lead me. You didn't even know that how God can bless you just by reading out of the Word of God. He said, even there shall thy hand lead me. I didn't say leave me behind. He didn't say forsake me. He was talking about his faith and knowing in whom he believed. He knew that if everything else was going wrong, he at one point was in a cave without the hand servants to come and bathe him. He didn't have the great feast to celebrate. He didn't have the harpist to come by, but he had to know where his help come from. How many of you know where your help comes from? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What does that mean, brother? It means in your darkest hour, God is still God. It means in the brightest of times that God is obviously God. But in both places, he's still God to you. For thou hast possessed, say that, my reins. He acknowledged that God had had control. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He was acknowledging the anointing that was on him even before he knew he was called to be king. He said, I know that it was you who give me this gift. How many of you know that everything that you've got has came from God above? How many of you know that I'm trying to get something out of you tonight. How many of you know that every good thing that you've got has came from God? Now we're getting somewhere. We're going to have a praise break in a minute. You better get ready. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Even as a shepherd, he knew exactly where David was. Even in the lowest place in his life, he knew exactly where David was. When you were lost and did not know Christ, in the lowest place, God still knew where you were. He still loved you enough to find you in the lowest estate, that by salvation, you can say today that this world is not my final resting place, that this world is not where I'm going to settle, but I'm going on to another place. I feel like preaching. I hope that you'll help me. I know one day my sorrows will be behind me, but while I'm here today, I know that my sorrows will be behind me. How many of you got a hold of that? I know one day that death will no longer have a sting on this body, but while I'm living, death has no sting. Glory to God. Who am I talking to right now? I know the body says that I'm sick, but the Bible says we'll leave all of these sicknesses behind. But while I'm here, I'm going to know that I have a healer who'll take care of me. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know one day he's going to call out my spirit from this flesh. But while I'm still living, I'm going to let him live in me. Glory to God. God, thou knowest my down sitting. Somebody's prayer life needs this. Thou knowest my lowest place. Thou knowest my highest accolades. Because there's glory to be had in both. There's glory in my life from being a drug addict. And there's glory to be had in my life for being successful. There's glory to be had in the times when you're staring death in the face. As Paul said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? He wasn't dead yet. That wasn't left in his will. But he was talking in a very real life, in a very real situation. And even in prison, knew that death did not have a hold. The shackles did not have a hold. Church, if you only knew how little the enemy had a hold on you, if you've ever been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then the enemy doesn't have a hold on you. Glory to God. Somebody needs to say this right now. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Somebody needs to remind themselves, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed. Shake off the numbness of the world and let the enemy know that I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been made new. I am a new creature. Old things have passed away. I feel the almighty glory of God. You might as well get in, because if you stay, it's going to get on you. I feel the power of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We are redeemed. We're not as though we were. Jesus spoke to his disciples. He all but told them that greater destruction was ahead of them than what they'd ever known, and that even greater desolation was coming to this world.
Jesus said there's going to be things that come, but he said, be not afraid, but be of good cheer. How can you be of good cheer in famine? How can you be of good cheer when people are going hungry? Because one day, all those that believe will no longer go hungry. All those that say they know Jesus will no longer thirst. But while we're here, he said, we are the living water, the compassion, oh, to the world. He said, we're a light. We're a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. When you see your brother thirsty, he said, give him something to drink. The world needs compassion. But church, we've forsaken the love of God. Why? Because we're numb to the fact that we are redeemed. If you knew that you were redeemed, you wouldn't let the devil beat you up all week long. If you knew that you were redeemed like you believe, you wouldn't let another foul word affect this temple. If you really believed in what you say you believe, he said that you could speak unto this mountain and it say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. So I'm here to tell you that I'm going to get off having to preach you to a place where you can barely feel God. And I'm here to tell you it's time to get rid of the nonsense that causes us to sit back on God. It's time to cast off the wickedness that is keeping us numb unto the tragedy that is all around us. There are so many things that we could do to make a difference, but we're so numb to what we want. We don't even care 5 minutes even listening to somebody else. We don't even care to listen to somebody else's troubles. But when you're in the true love of God, it'll cause you to look at things in a totally different way. David didn't know and fully understand what the Holy Ghost was going to become, but there was something still burning deep down inside of him that caused him to still believe. Job didn't know about the Holy Ghost, but there was something down in there that still believed. All the prophets of God of old didn't know what the Holy Ghost was, but yet they still had a fire set up in their bones. Church, there's going to come a day when all that you'll have is the Holy Ghost and your redemption. Church, there's coming a day when tragedy will come to your doorstep and the Lord wants to know who will stand for him in these last days. You know how you stand for the Lord? You say to somebody, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm saved. Man, I feel like praising him in this place. Somebody ought to give him a shout of praise. Jesus didn't leave Satan out. He said there will come an enemy that is seeking whom he can destroy. Where's my brother at? Amen. There's an enemy that's coming, that's seeking whom he may devour. Do you want to know where this clicks with the Old Testament? When the death angel came, they had to put something on the door that marked that their house had been redeemed. There was something that they had to show to the world. There wasn't any hiding it. There wasn't any put it under the canopy. There wasn't any put a sign up that's politically correct. It just simply showed that my house, when the death angel comes, will no longer touch what is covered by the blood. If you've ever been redeemed by Jesus Christ, you stop looking at that problem in the natural frame of mind and start looking at it the way that Jesus told you to look at it. You need that demon cast out. He said these things come by prayer and fasting, the denial of self and the humbling to pray. I'm almost warmed up. Do you understand what David was feeling now? Verse 16, we're going to get back. Don't get too comfortable. I feel another surgeon's coming. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being what? Unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. Ooh, ooh. David was acknowledging that God has saw everything in his life. Ooh. Somebody say, ouch. Look over into your neighbor and say, ouch. You can pretend and front all you want, but you're not fooling anybody. Bible already revealed our nature to everyone, so that none could say they were better. This was Jesus' beef with the Pharisees. He was trying to get them to understand it wasn't in garment. It was not in religion. It was not in what their forefathers had told them. He said that he came that the law would be fulfilled. When we talk about the law being fulfilled, that means when Jesus comes into your life, you learn to abide to the things that are true. So that's to say, if you've been redeemed, then there's something the world must see that shows
that you are. To advertise the blood on the door meant it was a public display of redemption. Now that's a far cry from somebody just standing up, lifting their hands and saying, praise the Lord. But there's really not that much of a difference if you think about it. What are you doing that shows the blood on the door? What do we reveal, Brother Matt, to this world that's out there, that Jesus is alive in us? I might have kids, I might not. But if I'm around any young people, I'm going to make sure they know and understand that life just isn't about feeling good. That it's not just about doing what you want with no consequence. But it's about learning to live a righteous life. I was talking to my mother earlier. We don't hardly get the chance because our paths are so different on schedules. But she said, I would do my work just the same way that I always do, even if they paid me less than what I'm getting paid, because there is a standard of excellence in me to do the right thing, even in circumstances that are difficult. And I thought, what an inspiring word to hear. Church, there is a standard that the Lord has given you by the blood of the Lamb, which has covered forgiveness of all your sin. So you don't have to live in your sin. We're recording this, and we're going to put it on the broadcast. So I'm going to say this for people that's going to listen to this 2 weeks from now. You are not defined by the past sin of your life. Can somebody say amen? You are not defined by who you were. So stop living like you once were. I'm tired of beating myself up all the time. That's who I was. That's not who I am. You know who God said he was? He said, I am that I am. When Moses said, I'm slow of speech, he said, you go tell them who I am. If God has ever given you anything, the world needs to know who he is in your life.